This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The trial of Karen Reed, it continues on, and we are all left with far more questions than answers. At least that's how it feels as we're getting more experts taking the stand, expert witnesses testifying to various things like glass on the back of Karen's bumper, a hair back there. What's going on with the taillight? How did everything come to be where it's at in chain of custody? A big question in this case. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Another week into this, Robin, and we're seeing, I think, a lot of reasonable doubt being painted in the mind of the jury by the defense of Karen Reed. What's been your take?
Yeah, it's more the same. You know, I think we've been spot on with what we've been seeing. The profound shocking for me this week is when they're describing Karen and John and the amount that they drank.
Yeah.
That they have documented, you know, because, you know, our conjecture the entire time was it's going to be hard for anyone to piece together an evening that they, I have no idea how they're alive without alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
Which is a sad state, but I think that's why they're having such a hard time with this case, with the evidence, because you have a lot of elements involved with the snow, you have cold weather, and you have, I think, zero memories that are accurate in any semblance whatsoever. So it's but we're seeing it, and it's hard to get an expert in there talking about things when it's all over the place. There's nothing to really verify except, like you said, a piece of glass here, busted taillight here. But when did we see it? When did we not see it? It's all muddled brain.
It really is. Let's take a look at some of the testimony. This is Maureen Harnett talking about some of the bumper damage that was seen on Karen Reed's vehicle.
In the trunk door, there were scratches on the rear bumper, and there was a broken taillight. The damage to the dent, the rear door was in this area. The broken taillight was here, and then there were some scratches on the rear bumper as well. I observed an apparent hair on the rear quarter panel about here, and I also noted some pieces of glass on the rear bumper.
So, I mean, on the surface, you take a look at that and you go, oh, that's some pretty compelling evidence. But this was found on the back of Karen Reed's vehicle after being driven in a blizzard for 30 miles and then towed for 30 miles. So 60 miles total. I don't know about you. I'm trying to figure out how do these rather delicate elements stay on a vehicle after being driven that to that level and towed to that level in a blizzard back when they start to take a look at the vehicle itself and examine it.
I agree. And on top of that, yeah, she hit something sometime, yeah. Somewhere. Okay. I mean, again, there's zero accurate memory of anything. And like you said, there's such a time and distance, weather elements. And again, we're not going for absolutes here. We're going for reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. And every single day we have more and more and more reasonable doubt.
Yeah. I mean, it very much feels like it. Does it mean that there's a cover up? No. Does it mean that she tried to kill him? No. Again, I think we're still somewhere in the middle here. She had testified she didn't testify, but her report to the police was that she made a 3-point turn that night after dropping John O'Keefe off. My question is, how does she even know that she'd made a 3-point turn? Does she remember making a 3-point turn? And, you know, could that have, I guess you could probably have drugged John O'Keefe along for the 3-point turn if he's on the ground.
You know, when I heard 3-point turn, I was just thinking, you know, driver's ed school.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, I think that she's trying to, I think she's just trying to be as accurate as she potentially can be. There are a few absolutes I will ever say on any show with anything having to do with crimes and criminal mm-hmm. offenses like this or charges. But given everything we've seen, you know, and you said it right there, I am 100% confident there was no intent on her part, no matter what the outcome of this is, was to do harm to Jonathan. I mean, it's just not there, you know. Because her behavior the entire night was incongruent with that.
Yeah. What I'm wondering about is was there something that was done? Again, not necessarily to frame someone for murder, but, you know, was there something going on behind the scenes here? Because we're hearing more and more just weird things that don't make sense about the way some of this evidence was found. Just certain specific things. We don't have that. We didn't investigate it this way. I mean, it could be incompetence, but I don't know. I mean, it makes me wonder, like, was there kind of some sort of a cover-up going on? Because we know that she must have hit him. We want to make it that much more obvious to whoever's going to find that out. I don't know. I mean, because you go down, you take one speck of that, and you go, is it bigger than this, or is there anything to it?
I still think the simplest answers are usually the most accurate answers in very complicated cases like this. And here's how I think this is. I still personally, again, we'll see where the evidence brings us. But having seen how organizations work and how law enforcement generally works, I mean, they are not bad people intrinsically. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to have conspiracy theories. But
no.
If you think there's a thread that allows you to feel safer and the people around you to feel safer, and it looks like we might have a fall person over here, they gave an indication. I don't see conspiracy. I see, let's not look over here. Let's only look over here.
Mm-hmm.
Look over here, not over. See what I mean? So there's not like a conspiracy to intentionally not do something or conspire with someone, as opposed to let's just not look in certain areas at a certain time, or, you know, let's be convenient with mm-hmm. what we find, when we find it, and how we find it. I guess that's an easier way to say it.
Yeah.
Now, granted, is that illegal or is it unethical? Definitely unethical. So, and that's what they're going to be battling over, you know, in court. And that's where I think the evidence is going to lead one way or the other, except for the fact that you're hard pressed getting credible testimony because of all the bad memories from being drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.